Thank you, Chandler. As Chandler said, turn to Psalms 37. Good to see all of you here this morning. So how about a good morning?
Good morning.
All right, y'all did great. So several years ago when I was doing youth ministry, way back in the dark ages, before we had GPS on our phones, we had a thing that we would call an atlas that we would keep in between the seats of the car. Anybody have one of those? I mean, I had a big one. Great big one, or we had road maps and stuff that you could look at. Well, we had computers, so they came out with this disc that they called MapQuest. And it was so cool because you could plug that disc into your computer and you could actually print off a map to where you wanted to go. And so we were getting ready to take some of our high school kids down to Dallas to go to Six Flags. We were leaving Liberal, Kansas. So I print off maps. We got several vans that are going. And so each driver would have a map, and we would know exactly how to get to the hotel that we were going to. So we leave, and we're driving, and we're following the map. We're going right to where the map tells us to go, and there is no hotel there. So we're wandering around in this area, and we cannot find this hotel anywhere. So I decide that I'm going to stop at this convenience store to ask for directions. That's what you had to do before you had cell phones that you could carry with you. And you would stop and you would go in and ask the clerk for directions. So the clerk, I give him the address to the hotel, the name of the hotel. He goes, "Oh yeah, I know exactly where that is," in his broken English that I could barely understand. But I was confident when I left there that this guy knows this hotel. And he tells me I need to get back on the interstate and I need to go 5 more miles. And when I get to 5 more miles down, he gives me the exit that I need to take, the exit number. So we're driving down this interstate in Dallas traffic. We're trying to make sure that all the vehicles stay with us because we don't want anybody to get lost. We get to this exit and I exit off and there is no hotel at this exit. So I drive around a little bit looking for a hotel and I get frustrated, but what I do find is another convenience store. And I won't mention the name of the convenience store, but it was exactly the same as the other one down the road and it had a circle with a letter in the middle of it. That's all I'll say. And I go into this convenience store to ask this guy, maybe he knows where the hotel is, and I walk in and this guy looks very familiar. He looks almost just like the one that I left and he sounds the same. And I think, wait a second. Something's up here. So I asked this guy, "Do you know where the hotel is?" And he says, "Yes," in his broken English. He said, "Here's what you need to do. Get back on the interstate and go 5 miles this direction and take this exit number." Right where we were. And I thought, these guys are up to something. They're making us go back and forth so that eventually we'll run out of gas and we'll have to buy fuel in all these vans from one of them. But it made more sense that the hotel was back towards the other direction. So we head back towards the other direction, and by the way, I'm getting very frustrated by this point. We got vans full of kids, everybody's getting hungry, everybody's getting cranky, everybody wants to get out at the hotel. We just need to stop. And so we drive down back in that direction, get down there, and I'm driving around. There is no hotel. Where in the world is this hotel at? And finally, I turn onto another road that has not even on our map. And after I turn on that other road, we go just a few exits down, and there it is, this huge, massive hotel. And I was so excited when I finally got to that destination. How many times in your life have you felt like you're lost and you don't know what to do? You're frustrated. You stop and you ask for directions. You got friends in your life. You got family in your life. You're saying, I don't know what to do. And they're giving you all kinds of directions to go. And you need to go this way. And you need to go that way. And you know that it's just not right. And you're getting frustrated because you don't know what the path is. You don't know exactly where you need to end up. You search for answers. But it seems like no one knows the right way. And you end up more confused than ever before. How many of you realize that God has a plan for your life, and sometimes as we're seeking that plan for our life, it gets a little confusing, right? We're asking God, where is it that I need to be? And sometimes it's silent. Sometimes I think that God is telling us, but we're not listening. Sometimes I think we're listening, but we don't want to hear because, no, God, I'm sure that's not what you want me to do. That's not the direction you need to go. And it leads to confusion in our life at times. By the way, that hotel story, God's got a sense of humor. Several years later, we would move into that area. And every day I would drive past that hotel almost. And every time that I would drive past it, it was a reminder to me to trust God. Because guess what? God had it all under control the whole time, right? I didn't. I was totally out of control. Matter of fact, I've got some youth workers with me going, do you even have a clue what life is about? You can't even find a hotel in Dallas. So we know that God has a plan for our life. Hopefully you realize that. That God has a path that is laid out. And last week, Shane began a series of messages that we're simply calling The Path. And in this series, over the next several weeks, we're going to be looking at how to know God's will for my life. How to know this direction that God has laid out for us. And last week, Shane asked the question, what is God's will really? What is God's will really for us? And he pointed out that God's will for us is not just about making decisions, but it's about surrendering to his transforming power. And this message emphasized how trusting in God and renewing our minds allows us to align with his perfect path. See, we need to understand that God has a path for us. He lays this path out, and his path, by the way, is much better than our path. His path is better than the way that we could choose to go on our own. We need his guidance in our life. One of our key verses in this series is Psalms 16:11. And in 16:11, it says, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. This verse reminds us that God does have a path, and God wants us to know that path. It says that you lay out for me that path of life. And when I'm following that path, in that path, there's fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. He doesn't leave us to figure it out all alone. When we trust in him, he will guide our steps and he will lead us on that path. Today, we're going to be talking about this question. What if I make a wrong decision along the way? We know that God has a path that's laid out for us, but what happens if I make a wrong choice, if I make a wrong decision, if I make a mistake along the way? So let me ask you this question just so we can be honest with everybody this morning. How many of you have ever made a mistake in your life? All right, I'm just seeing who's being honest. If you didn't raise your hand, then go ahead and raise it now. Show everybody I didn't do it a while ago. We all make mistakes in our life. But let me ask you this question. I don't want you to raise your hand because I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. But how many of you have ever made a huge mistake in your life that you still think about? And it may have been years ago. It may have been last week. But you think about it. It's on your mind. It's on your thought. And you have a hard time letting it go. I know there's nobody besides me that does that. Because sometimes that happens. We all know that we're going to make mistakes, and some of them are little stumbles and little falls along the way, but sometimes we make those big mistakes. Those mistakes that we look back and say, how in the world did I do that? I knew better, and yet it still happened to me. And when that happens, sometimes it's very hard, very difficult for us to move beyond that, for us to forgive ourselves over that, and to get back on the right path where we know that we should be. And so it brings up this question. What if I make the wrong decision? What if it's a big decision that I really mess up on? What happens then? Does that mean that now God can't use me? Now that I can't know God's plan for my life? I can't follow him because I've messed it all up? Well, that's what we're going to dive into and look at this morning. But as we do, I want you to think about this. I want you to have this thought on your mind. That God's plan for your life is far more resilient than what you may think. God is sovereign even over our mistakes and our failures. And his grace is big enough to cover even your biggest fault, your biggest failure, your biggest mistake. So keep that thought in your mind as we go through this study this morning. We're going to look at two simple verses in Psalms 37. And then I'm going to be mentioning some more verses along the way that I would encourage you, write them down, go look them up. Don't just look up the verse, but read the content of the passage that's there with it. That'll give you some better understanding. But for the sake of time, we don't have time today to go through all of them. We could turn this message alone into a 6-week series. but you would get bored after about 2 weeks, so we're going to do it all in one day. I have a lot of stuff to cover, so hang with me. Psalms 37, let's look at verses 23 and 24. Scripture says, "A person's steps are established by the Lord, and he takes pleasure in his way. Though he falls, he will not be overwhelmed, because the Lord supports him with his hand." That is the CSV version. In the NLT version, it says, "The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by their hand." Let's pray together. Father, I thank you today for your word. Thank you for this time to gather here in this place to study your words. And I pray for just a few moments that you would help our hearts and our minds to be still, to be clear, and to be able to hear from you. God, I pray that each one of us would allow this time for your Spirit just to speak to our hearts, to guide us, to help us to understand. And it's in Christ's name that I pray. Amen. As we think about this passage this morning, I want you to look back at verse 24 and the very last words that it says there. It says, "For the Lord holds them up by their hand." The Lord holds them up by their hand. Oh, they may stumble, they may fall, but the Lord holds them up by their hand. Every time I read that, I get the image in my mind of a dad walking along with their child, holding their child's hand. And maybe that child is just learning how to walk, and so you're kind of guiding them, you're helping them along the way, and when that child stumbles and starts to fall, what does the dad do? He hangs on to that hand, and he holds that child up the best that he can. And there's times that the child is going to go ahead and stumble, but the dad does not let go of the hand. He continues to hold the child. And I think that is a beautiful picture that this verse gives us about how God walks with us. How God is walking by our side. He's holding our hand. He's not letting us go. Oh, we're going to stumble. We're going to fall. But he's going to hang on. And the first point that I want you to get out of this message today is when we stumble, we are not abandoned. The question was, what if I make a mistake? The question should be this: what happens when I make a mistake? We've all admitted that we make mistakes, and we're going to make mistakes in our walk with God. We're going to make mistakes as we follow His path and our plan, His plan for our life. There's going to be times that we stumble. But when we stumble, when we fall, God does not abandon us and leave us there all alone. He is hanging on to us. We're reminded in this passage that God is in control of our lives, even when we make mistakes. This is a comforting truth. And I want you to understand this today. God is not surprised by the mistakes that you make. God is not caught off guard by the mistakes that you make. God is not derailed by the mistakes that you make. And the reason that that is because God is a sovereign God. God is an all-knowing God. God understands what's going to happen. And so it doesn't throw him out of kilter going, "Oh, I don't know what to do now. You messed up. You made a mistake. I got to change all my plans. I got to change all my direction because you couldn't follow what I told you to follow." That's not the way that it is. God knows that you're going to mess up. And by the way, he knows those mistakes even before you make them. And we're going to look at that in just a second. But when we stumble, when we fall, we need to understand God is sovereign. Now, what does it mean when we say that God is sovereign? When we say that God is sovereign, we mean that he has ultimate authority and control over everything in the universe. His sovereignty means that everything happens with him knowing, with him allowing it. Nothing is outside of his influence. Specifically, God's sovereignty means several things. First of all, God is in control of all things. He governs the universe. He governs history. He governs the future. He governs the present. He governs all events. Everything that happens, happens under his authority. We see this in Psalms 10:19 that says, "The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all." He has authority over all things, has control over all things. And the second thing is this: God has a purpose for everything. Even when we don't understand the things that are going on around us, we need to remember that God understands, that God knows, and God has a purpose for everything that is happening. Whether it's in your life, whether it's in the world around us, we can take comfort to know that God is still on the throne, He is over all things, and He has a purpose through everything that is going on. And when we think about God's sovereignty, we understand this, that God's will cannot be stopped. His plan is unstoppable. Even, again, when we don't understand it, when we don't know exactly what He's up to, even when we make mistakes, that God's purpose will be fulfilled. His plan cannot be stopped. He works all things together for His good, for His perfect plan. And then God's sovereignty is good. His sovereignty is not a bad thing. It's not an oppressive thing in our life. His sovereignty is a good thing in our lives. He is in control. He is not oppressive. He is just. He is loving. He is good. And He is kind in all that He does. And His sovereignty is used for the goodness of His people. So God is sovereign over all things. Now, I want you to keep this in mind, too. When we think about God's sovereignty, we need to understand that somehow, in God's sovereignty, in a way that I don't know that a human mind will ever be able to figure out this side of heaven, but in God's sovereignty, He allowed man a thing that we call free will. He allows us the opportunity to make choices. His sovereignty doesn't tell us that you're going to have to do this, you're going to have to do this. He lays out a path before us where we can choose to follow His path. Remember, in His path, there is fullness of joy, but we have to choose that path. He allows us somehow in His sovereignty to have free will to make choices of our own. And man's free will is the God-given ability to make choices independently, but understanding that there is a responsibility with the choices that we make. There's consequences to the choices, good or bad. But listen, God gives us that choice understanding that there's times that we're going to mess up in those choices. There's times that we're going to make mistakes along the way, but He gives us that free will. So how does God's sovereignty and this free will work together? Even though God is sovereign, He has given us this ability to make real decisions, and we can choose to follow Him, we can choose to follow His path, we can choose to follow the path of life that He offers, or we can choose to follow our own path, go down our own way, and be separated from Him. He gives us that choice. So how does all this tie together? How does that work together in our life? I want you to think about this. In Deuteronomy 30:19, it says that God has set before you life and death. He has set before you blessings and curses. And He goes on to say, choose life. That verse shows us that God has laid out before us the right path and the wrong path, and you have to choose. And He says to choose life. Choose God's way. Choose God's plan, because that is where you're going to find true and lasting joy. Choose Him. So we need to understand this, that in this life that we're living, God is sovereign, but God gives us the ability to make real choices. We also see that God's sovereignty works even through those choices. God is still sovereign even when we make choices, and He can work through those decisions, whether good or bad. And I want to add on to that, that He can work even through the bad decisions of other people and the good decisions of other people that affect our lives. How many of you know that some people can make decisions that not only affect them, but they affect other people, right? We understand, it's only them. Well, our choices don't do that, right? Wrong, they do. Our choices can not only affect us, but also affect other people. Think back into Scripture about the story of Joseph in the Old Testament. Joseph and his brothers, Joseph had a dream, and he was excited about this dream that he had and what God was going to do, and his brothers were jealous. I'm giving you the short, condensed version here. And so they got tired of Joseph, so they wanted to kill him. So they're ready to kill him, and then they decide, wait, we don't have to kill him. Let's sell him into slavery. And so they sell Joseph into slavery. And I want you to understand something. God did have big plans for Joseph. And what his brothers did by selling him into slavery, didn't catch God off guard where he goes, uh-oh, and now I've got to change all these plans up. God still knew all that was going to happen in his sovereignty. He gave them the choice to make, but he knew what was going to happen, and so God already had it all covered and went before them, even in that story. And so God's plan was not thwarted. His brother chose to sell him into slavery, and yet God used this decision to save many people's lives during a famine, even the lives of his brother. Go back into Genesis chapter 50. You can read about this, and you can see it, how God was not thrown off guard. His plan did not have to change because of what other people did. He even works through our choices. In God's sovereignty, we need to understand that we also have a responsibility for the choices that we make. Even though God is sovereign, we're still responsible for those choices. He guides our path. We choose whether we want to follow it or not. And if we choose not to follow it and we make a mistake, guess what? We're responsible. And there's consequences that will come when we choose not to follow God's way, right? And we take ownership of that and we have to say, God, I messed up. God, I blew this one. Now, I know that is totally different than what a lot of people think in our world today. I don't mess up. The choices that I make, that's not my fault. That's somebody else's fault, right? Somebody else caused me to do that, and I did that because of this or that. No, we take ownership and we say, God, I messed up. God, I take ownership of that mistake. We take responsibility. We also need to understand that it is our personal responsibility to respond to his offer of salvation. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life." That means the whosoever has to make a choice. Whosoever would choose to follow him would have that everlasting life. And in Matthew 11:28, Jesus invites everyone to come to him. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." He lays it out and he says, I've got what you need. I'm right here, but you have to choose to come to me. Romans 10:13 says, "If you openly declare Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." He doesn't say that everyone is going to call on the name of the Lord. He doesn't say for those that I have said are going to call on the name of the Lord. He says for everyone who chooses to call on the name of the Lord, salvation is offered. There's a choice that is made, and we have to choose to receive that salvation. We have to choose to accept what God gives for us. And we also need to understand this. God doesn't force us to act. God's sovereignty doesn't mean that we are forced into actions. We still have freedom to make decisions. But God is always working through those decisions to fulfill his plan. Go back to the book of Genesis. Adam and Eve are in the garden. God says that you can have anything in this garden that you want. Take it all. It's there for you. But stay away from this one tree, this one fruit. Just avoid that one. And you can have it all. Adam and Eve made a choice to disobey God. And they took of the one thing he told them to leave alone. And because of that, there was consequences to their actions. There was consequences that God did not force them to stay away from that tree. I mean, if God didn't want them to partake of that tree, why would he even put that tree there? Why didn't he remove that tree? Why didn't he put a barrier up around that tree? Because he gave them the choice. Will you obey me or will you be disobedient to me? He does not force us to act. And again, remember that God is not caught off guard by our choices. I love this because he knows the stupid things that we're going to do before we do the stupid things, right? And again, sometimes it brings up the question, okay, God, if you know that I'm fixing to make a stupid decision, why don't you remove me from that stupid decision? Well, I want you to consider this thought. Making mistakes or experiencing the fallout of a bad decision, What do I mean by that? So we make a mistake, we have the consequences. And sometimes those consequences are not very pleasant at all. So when we're experiencing that fallout, experiencing those consequences, that is often what teaches us that we need to depend on God more fully. So it's like this. Go back to that child. That child's growing up a little bit, and we're letting them do some things on their own, making some of their own choices. And they keep going and trying to stick a knife in a light socket. And we tell them no. We take the knife away. They go get it, and they go back in there. And what's a kid doing with a knife? I know there's all kinds of bad stuff with this story. But they keep going back, and finally we've taken them away so many times. Finally, we go, okay, stick it in there. See what's going to happen. By the way, don't let your kid stick a knife in a light socket. But we go ahead and we say, okay, for the point of this. And they get zapped. You think they're ever going to go back and stick that knife in that light socket again? Some kids would. I would have when I was a kid. But for most of them, they're going to learn. It is when we're in those consequences that now we're realizing that what God was telling us to do was for our own good. It was for our own protection, for our own safety, that His steps for our life are much better than ours. Making some mistakes in our life sometimes teach us that we need to trust God. It's in our desperation that we realize that we need His guidance, we need His wisdom, and most importantly, we need His grace. Aren't you grateful for God's grace today? That we do not deserve, but He freely offers to us. If it wasn't for His grace, where would we be? And I love the thought that when we stumble, when we make the wrong choice, when we make the wrong decisions, that God does not abandon us. Again, look back at verse 24. I love this verse. Though he falls, he will not be overwhelmed because the Lord supports him with his hand. God doesn't abandon you when you stumble and when you fall. And that should be great news for all of us. Think today on the story of David, the illustration of David in the Bible, that despite his great faith, he made several mistakes throughout his life. And we can look at those mistakes and we can go, man, how in the world could you stumble and fall so bad? He had the affair with Bathsheba. Didn't stop there. He decided that in order to cover it up, he would have her husband killed. David's mistakes even go down to his children, where at times he didn't treat them right and didn't do with them as he should have done. Lead them in the way that he should have. Mistakes after mistakes. This is a great leader. This is a man who is doing great things, and yet he stumbled and falls. And we look at him and say, I cannot believe you messed up that bad. There's no way you should be in any kind of position of leadership because of the way that you messed up. And there's truth in that, right? I mean, there's responsibilities in different levels of leadership. But as we read through Scripture, we see this of what David, or what God says about David, that David, I have found in him to be a man after my own heart in Acts 13, 22. We see that even though David stumbled and fell, and it was a big stumble and fall, it wasn't just one, it was several, that God never let go of him. God was not caught off guard by it, and God's plan did not change through it. David was a man after God's own heart, made these mistakes, and yet God showed him grace. God showed him mercy. God showed him love, and God restored David. And God's promise to establish his throne forever through the line of David was fulfilled through his son, Jesus Christ. His plan was still fulfilled. Did David suffer consequences? Absolutely he did. Horrible consequences. Did he suffer defeat in his life? Absolutely. And he struggled through that. But God's plan was still fulfilled. So understand this too, that God's grace is bigger than our mistakes. God's grace is much bigger than our mistakes. I believe that one of the big lies of the enemy is that when you mess up, God cannot love you, and God cannot use you. I wonder if you've ever felt that way. Again, please don't answer that. But how many times have we been there in our life that I've messed up so bad, I don't think God can still love me because of what I've done? And maybe we understand God's love is so great that we don't go down that path to say, God can't love me because of what I've done. But we can get to the point going, God can never use me again because I'm such a failure, because I make such big mistakes. And I think that is one of the biggest lies of the enemy. Consider this. You see this in the book of Jonah. I love Jonah. I love the story of Jonah, because Jonah is being told by God where God wants him to go. God wants him to go, and he wants him to speak to the people. And Jonah's listening to God, and he says, I don't think I heard you right, God. I don't think I hear you right where you want me to go. And so what does Jonah do? He runs the opposite direction. He doesn't just walk away. He runs away, and he runs the opposite direction. And he's trying to get as far from God as he can get. And he gets on a ship, and he is headed away, and God sends a storm to that ship. And everybody on the ship thinks this is a horrible storm. We're all going to die. They're throwing stuff overboard. And Jonah's like, wait a second, I'm the problem. I'm the problem. I'm running from God. So Jonah gets thrown overboard. And what happens? God sends a big fish to swallow Jonah. And while Jonah is in the belly of that fish for 3 days, I often wonder what's going through his mind. What are the thoughts in Jonah's mind? And I know what my thoughts would be, and it'd be, man, I really blew this one. I have really messed up bad. There's no way that God can save me from this one. There's no way that God can ever use me again. And he was in the belly of that smelly fish for 3 days. How horrible that must have been. And that is just a reminder to us that when we step out of God's plan for our life, when we do things that we shouldn't do, when we try to run from God and we're disobedient to God, that there's consequences that come, and those consequences aren't going to be pleasant. But God will use those consequences. And we know the story that one day that fish spits Jonah up out on the beach. And you have more, Jonah's got to go, oh, that's name. He probably gets in the water, takes a bath. I hope he does. But what does he do? He goes back and he does what God asked him to do. God's plan was not changed. God was not caught off guard. But God still used Jonah. And when he goes back and Jonah speaks to the people that he was afraid to speak of, or speak to because he was afraid for his life, those people started turning to God. God's plan was accomplished. Even though Jonah didn't want to give in at first, he ran. Third thing I want you to see here is that your failures don't define you. Your failures don't define you. Again, we think of David and his great failure. 2 Samuel, David is confronted by his friend Nathan. And listen to David's response in 2 Samuel 12, 13 through 15. It says, then David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan replied, the Lord has taken away your sin. You are not going to die, but because by doing this, you have shown utter contempt for the Lord, the son born to you will die. So when confronted by Nathan, David repented. David cried out to God for mercy. And you can read about this in Psalms 51. And because David repented, because David turned back to the Lord, David was forgiven. Again, there was consequences. The son did die. There was consequences that grieved David because of his decisions. But God gave David the strength to continue on the path that he had laid out for him. Perhaps you've made mistakes and you feel like they're defining you in your life. You feel like that maybe you're paralyzed over those mistakes. Maybe you're even one of those that feels like there's no way that God can love me because of all the things that I've done. I've had that conversation with people over the years where they would say, there's no way that God can save me. There's no way that God can love me. You don't know what I've done. And if that's you today, let me just say, you don't know what I have done. And if God can save me, he can save you. God's grace and God's love is available to all. No matter how bad those mistakes are, no matter how bad that's happened in your life, you say, well, I was a Christian and I stumbled and I fell. How could God ever use me again? David, had a man after God's own heart, stumbled and he fell, and yet God was still able to accomplish his plan through him. What did David do? He repented. He cried out before the Lord. He came to the Lord and said, I've blown it. I've messed up. He owned up to it. And he was restored by God. And then again, I said this at the beginning, and I want to point it out again, that God's will is not as fragile as we think. His plan for our life is not as fragile as we think. One of the biggest fears that we have is that if we make this single mistake, Or maybe we make multiple mistakes. Maybe we've blown it 100 times, or if you're like me, you've blown it 1,000,000 times. And we think, I've done too much. And that God's plan for my life can no longer be in play. But God's plan is not as fragile as we think. God's will is far more resilient. God's will is bigger than our mistakes. And God can even work through those mistakes. Again, God is sovereign. God knows those mistakes. He knows His plan. And His plan will unfold according to His purpose. Think about the story of Peter in the New Testament. Peter, one of the disciples of Jesus. One of the bold disciples that everything Jesus said, you know, Jesus, I'm going to get arrested. What does Peter do? He tries to save Jesus, cuts off the ear of the soldier, you know, pulls a sword. He's ready to fight for Jesus. When Jesus let him know, I'm going to the cross, Peter's like, no, and I will die with you. All these things that Peter would say, when it came down to it, Jesus is going through his trial, and Peter denies Jesus, not once, not twice, but 3 times, just like Jesus told him he would do. When Peter said, I'll never deny you, Lord. And he denied him 3 times. Peter was broken because of that decision. He was broken because he denied his friend, the one he'd been with, the one that he said he would never deny, the one he said he would be willing to die with. And yet he denied him, said, I don't know him. And we know the story of Peter, that God still uses Peter to accomplish his pain. His plan. Matter of fact, he uses Peter in a great way. Jesus meets with Peter on the beach, and it was on the beach when Jesus restored Peter, and Peter goes on and is a great, great influencer in the church. Peter did a great job in helping build the church. Peter went on and he preached, and many people got saved because of Peter's obedience to God, and how God used that brokenness of Peter to help Peter see who Christ was and to see his role in God's big plan. And Peter went forward with him. He didn't stay where he was. He didn't sit back and say, well, I'm the biggest mistake that there ever was. I could never be used by God. He got back up and he worked and he did what God had called him to do. Philippians 1:6 says this, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. God finishes what he starts, and God will complete in you. God finishes that he has built up. Even if we mess up, he will continue his work in us, guiding us and leading us back on track if we will continue to trust in Him. So I ask you this question today. Are you trusting in God? Are you trusting in Him to lead you, to guide you? Are you trusting in His path for your life? You know, it's easy for us to look at our own path or to listen to other people about what the path should be and try to go that way. But God wants us to follow His path and His plan, because it's in His path that we will find fullness of joy. It is in His path that we will understand what life truly is all about. We'll understand that He does have a plan and a purpose for us. Now, here's some things that I know about His plan. Sometimes we'll be asking God, what is the next step that I need to take? Some of you are asking that right now. God, what is the next step? What is the direction I need to go in my life? And sometimes we'll ask that question, and again, it'll be crickets. It's like, God, I know you got a plan, but what is it? The question is, when we don't hear His voice immediately, when we don't know exactly what that next step is, do we still trust Him? Because He will guide us step by step along the way. But do we trust that? If you're like me and you don't hear His voice immediately, you want to step out ahead of Him. God, I didn't hear what you said, so that means I got to make this decision on my own. And that's usually when I make the biggest mistakes. So do we trust Him enough to listen and to wait until He gives us direction? When He gives us direction, do we trust Him enough to know that, yes, that's the path I need to go, yes, that's the best thing for me? Or are we like Jonah and go, I don't think I heard that right, so I'm going to go this direction because that's not what I want to do. That may be uncomfortable in my life. So when it's uncomfortable, do we trust Him to know that His plan is better than our plan? And the biggest question that I have for you is, do you trust Him when it comes to salvation? Do you trust Him to be the Lord and the Savior of your life? Because that's where all of this begins. It begins in us placing our faith and trust in Him and allowing Him to be the Lord and Savior of our life. If we miss that, we miss everything else. So do you trust Him with that most important decision? Let's bow our head and close our eyes for just a second. I want to ask you today, have you placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? If you've never done that, and if God's speaking to your heart today, then would you trust Him? Would you open up your heart to Him? Would you say yes to Him? If that's you today and you'd like to visit with somebody about that when we dismiss in a moment, I'd be glad to have that opportunity to share with you more how you can place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Maybe you've placed your faith and trust in Christ. Maybe it was a short time ago. Maybe it was a long time ago. But you've made some mistakes along the way. You've made some mistakes that you're having a hard time letting go of. How about today you lay those down at His feet and don't pick them back up? That you trust that He is faithful and He is just, that when you confess your sins to Him, that He will forgive you and He will cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Can you trust Him in that today? Maybe you are struggling. You're like, I don't know what to do. I don't know where I need to go. But God, I'm going to trust You today with that next step. Just simply saying, I trust You, God. And He will lead you step by step along the way. Father, I thank You again for Your word. I thank You for the time we can study together. I thank You for the hope that we have in You. And God, I know that You've got great plans for all of us. And God, I know that we will have some bumps along the way. We will have some stumbles and falls. But God, I pray that that would not hold us back from knowing who we are in You, trusting You, and following You in our lives. God, I pray that You would just let Your Spirit speak to our hearts and help us to respond to You in whatever way You lead us today. And it's in Christ's name that I pray. Amen. Let's stand together as we dismiss this morning. Thank you for coming. Thank you for being here today. So glad that we get to see you, and we pray that you will have a blessed week. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you His peace.